Let's open our Bibles together in the book of Genesis and in the chapter 49. That's the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. We commence reading God's precious word at verse number 22. We want to follow God's word down from verses 22 to 26 and then commencing at 28 again. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, and blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. And all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, verse 28, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people, to bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, and in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. And purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come again to thy precious word, and I pray earnestly this morning that thou will write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. We thank thee for the privilege of gathering round the book that is thine, the book of God. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt minister to the needs of this congregation. Father, thou knowest the needs of every heart, and we thank thee for the encouragements along the way. We thank thee, we praise thee for souls that have been saved. To God be the glory. Great things the Lord has done. And O God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt indeed lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes, that we might stand in the gap in these days, and having done all, be faithful and keep standing. And to this end, O God, I pray for power. Give us the liberty of the Holy Ghost. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. We find as we read this passage of God's word in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, that Joseph is the 11th son that Jacob is addressing. We have looked at the other 10 before him, and we've also looked at Benjamin. And we're looking finally at the latter part of Joseph. Now, in our consideration of the benediction or the blessing directed to Joseph from his father, his dying father Jacob, we have seen some things already. Look at verse number 22. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. And there we noticed his fruitfulness, because he was a fruitful bough, even a bough that by a well whose branches run over the wall. Not only did we see that he was a fruitful bough, but we noticed his favor, because it says that he was fruit and his bough went over the wall. And it was a healthy bough. It was one that was sustained and refreshed by the well. And of course, it reached out unto others. And how that when we are refreshed in our souls, that God gives us a desire to reach out to others and to win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we notice, thirdly, in verse number 23, we notice not only his fruitfulness and his favor, we notice his foes. Because it says there, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And so we find that Joseph faced opposition. Now, of course, you and I know that some of this opposition was from the enemy. That was without. But sad to say, there was also much of the opposition was from his brethren. And that's the tragedy of this story, because indeed the brothers that Joseph had, the 10 brothers that have been mentioned before him, were those that give him the opposition. And it says they sorely grieved him. And my friend, it is possible that brethren can sorely grieve other brethren in the Lord. And that is not right, and that is not spiritual, and that is not scriptural. As God's people face, indeed, the word says there, the archers have sorely grieved him. And the word for archers is the master of bows. In other words, these were skilled. These just were, they were talented or skilled attackers that were upon the servant of the Lord. And he was sorely grieved, it says, or sorely harassed. And he was shot at, and he was even hated. And there we see the toughness of the battle that Joseph had to face. You and I know that we are living in a day when the battle is even getting greater. And the battle against the children of God, not only the world and the flesh and the devil, that's the summary of what we're having to battle against and what we're having to face. But thank God, we can stand in the gap. And that's the encouragement. And that brings me to the next thing. We notice his faith. Look at verse 24. It says, his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And there I want you to notice, my friend, that the faith of God's child in the midst of the foes. And he was someone who was standing, and he was standing strong in the Lord. It says there in verse 24, his bow abode in strength. Notice, his bow abode in strength. You see, his God's servant was not unprepared. He was not unarmed for the battle. And that's ought to encourage you and me, because thank God, God has armor for you and I to stand in the gap. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to keep standing. And God has provided for us in this battle. He has provided for us the different pieces of armory. And he says, put on the whole armor. In other words, don't leave any of it off. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand. Thank God, here's Joseph, and he was sorely grieved, and he was hated, and he was shot at. But I tell you, he didn't run around discouraged. He was one that was strong. His bow abode in strength. And thank God, our strength this morning is in the Lord. He was not going round simply as a victim, although he was, but he was going round as a victor, because he was standing in the strength of the Lord. And the word abode there means it was always ready. In other words, he wasn't caught unprepared in the battle. He was always ready whenever the devil attacked, whenever the arrows were shot at him, whenever the archers set their arrows off, and he was hated. Thank God, his bow was ready. He was ready to stand in the gap and to keep standing, because it abode in strength. And the word there means that which goes on forever. Thank God, irrespective of the machinations of the enemy, the bow of Joseph was constant. Thank God, it endured. It was strong. It was mighty in the Lord. Now, why did it abide in strength? Notice the secret here. Look at verse 24. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And that's the secret, my friend. He wasn't weakened by drawing the bow. He wasn't weary in the drawing of the bow. Thank God his strength was off the Lord. And we noticed last Lord's Day as we're looking at this, we noticed as we finished about the mighty God of Jacob. The mighty God of Jacob. You know, there was a time in Jacob's life when he was faltering in his faith. There was a time that Jacob was a twister. There was a time that Jacob was a supplanter. He wasn't always faithful. But thank God he learned in the school of experience. And he learned to trust God. Remember, I'm sure whenever Joseph was taken from him, he had to turn to the Lord because he was grieved. His heart was broken. The hymn writer says, "Where can I go but to the Lord?" Is your heart grieved this morning? Is your heart breaking this morning? Is there a burden upon your heart and maybe nobody else knows anything about it? You say, "Well, where can I go, preacher?" I can tell you, go where you ought to go. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, Jacob learned somewhat of a lesson. And you know, friend, it says there in verse 24, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And what we find is this. He starts to give specific names to the God that he has come to know. The God that he has come to trust. You know, there was a time when in Jacob's life when he spoke about the God of Abram. And he spoke about the God of my father Isaac. But friend, notice what he's saying here. He says, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The mighty God of Jacob. Jacob has come to know God in a mighty way. And I asked you this morning, do you know the Lord this morning? Do you know the God of Jacob in a mighty way? The God of Jacob is our refuge. Oh my God is our refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. You can turn to the God of Jacob, and from thence, God is the source of everything implied by these names. Now look at this, says this, from thence is the shepherd. He come to know God as a shepherd. Of course, that's what he was. He was a shepherd himself. In actual fact, you know, this is the only time in the book of Genesis, other than one other place, that shepherds mentioned. And the other time that shepherds mentioned in the book of Genesis, in actual fact, go back with me just for one wee moment. Go back to chapter 46. That's the other time that it's mentioned. You know, Joseph's saying to his brethren, and he's saying this to his father, if you go down to verse number 32, and the men are shepherds, for their trade had been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, ye shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now. Both we and all our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And so therefore we find here that as far as the Egyptians were concerned, shepherds were an abomination. But no, Jacob has come to know God as his shepherd. The one who cares. The one who understands whenever his sheep's in trouble, he'd go out there and defend his sheep. He'd protect his sheep whenever they need to be fed. He will lead them to the green pastures. David was able to say in that lovely psalm we sang it this morning, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And you know, sheep will only lie down of their own accord when they're free from anxiety. And my, when they're fed, they will lie down. And the flock is well fed, and then they will rest, and they will lie down. But you know, it says here, "He maketh me." What does that mean, friend? You know, you'll not make a sheep lie down. We've got a little dog, and you say, "Sit." And you hope that it obeys you. And sometimes it has a mind of its own. But let me tell you, you can tell a dog to sit, but you can't tell a sheep to sit, because it'll not do it. Well, you can tell it, but don't expect it to obey. That dumb animal, that sheep, and yet it says here, he maketh me to lie down. What does that mean, friend? It means that the shepherd creates the condition that's conducive to the sheep lying down contentedly. He provides the condition. And maybe there's someone this morning in God's house and you're filled with anxiety. And my, your mind's working overtime and you can't get rest. Friend, let me tell you, lie down in the loving arms of God. You know, God knows all about your struggle. God knows what you're going through, and God can create the conditions that are conducive to you lying down there in contentedness when you're simply trusting Him. We're talking about the faith of this man. You've got to trust Him. F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. Are you trusting Him this morning? Let me tell you, there's circumstances that you and I of ourselves will not be able to work through. But thank God, God can bring us through. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Yes, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. And sheep will not drink of a turbulent stream. I'll tell you something else. They'll not even walk over a turbulent stream. But he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You see, of themselves, they're timid, they're afraid. And of myself, there are times in life, friend, I'm the same. But thank God, he leadeth me. I must have the Savior with me. My, what a joy. What a joy to know. And even when we're tired and we're weary, listen, he restoreth my soul. Who's the he? My shepherd. My shepherd restores me. David's talking here out of personal experience. And so's Jacob. And he said, let me tell you, you will be strengthened. You'll be strengthened. And your arm will be strengthened by the mighty hand of the mighty God, my shepherd, the shepherd, the shepherd. What does the psalmist say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You'll not lack anything if the Lord's your shepherd and Savior. You're trusting Him. Maybe you're trying to do it all yourself this morning. You're trying to work through all of these situations yourself, and you're just getting troubled day by day. You're getting caught up, and you're so filled with anxiety about it all. And that's why you can't rest. That's why when you lay your head down, you can't sleep. It seems to be your mind's just churning and churning and churning. You're crying out for rest. Listen, look to the shepherd. He'll be your strength. But notice something else he says. He says, not only the mighty God, my God, will strengthen you, and not only will my shepherd strengthen, but notice he says, the stone of Israel. The stone of Israel. And I believe the metaphor here would have been inspired by an experience in Jacob's own life. If you go back to chapter 32 of the book of Genesis, you'll find that Jacob was in serious trouble. He is running from home. He was filled with anxiety too. There had been a scheme that had been devised, but now Jacob has got to leave home. He's heading away to his uncle's home because he's afraid of his brother from whom he has taken the birthright. So Jacob is running from his brother. He's tired. Can you see him running? And he's running. And now he's exhausted, but he's so afraid. He's running on until he can run no more. And he just falls down. He falls down at Bethel. It's a rugged countryside. He's so tired. I've got to go sleep. But he's no pillow. So he looks around and he sees a stone. Oh, it's a rough stone. It's not a feather bed pillow now. It's just a hard stone. And he lays his head down on that stone. Yes, he's hurting. And he's hunted. I feel the battle of life upon him, but he can't go any further. In Genesis chapter 28. Let's go, sorry, Genesis chapter 28. Tells us in verse number 11. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and he put them for his pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And friend, lying upon a bed of stone and lying with his head upon a pillow of stone, that night God met him. And God revealed himself to him. And maybe you're going through deep waters today, but let me tell you, the Lord can reveal himself in a wonderful way to you. You can experience an experience and a presence of God, friend, that you've never experienced before, even when your head's upon that tough pillow. And you're filled with all that anxiety. And as you lie there, and he took the stones and he made a pillow. And he's weary and he's worn. And I'm sure he was weeping. Lonely. And then God met him that night. He dreamed. Look at verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Thank God, let me tell you, I don't care what you're going through, friend, God's standing above. God's still upon his throne, and God can bring his people through, and God revealed himself that night, and he says, I am the Lord God of Abram thy father, and the God of Isaac. And God says, the land whereon thou liest, and he's running from it. He says, you see the land on you're even lying on. He says, God says, I'll give it to you. When the morning came, verse 16, Jacob waked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not, and he was afraid. And he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Imagine, friend, where was the house of God, the gate of heaven? An old rough piece of ground. With his head upon an old stone for a pillow. You wouldn't have chosen that to be the house of God, would you? But God met him there. And God can meet your need today. And it says in verse 18, Jacob rose up early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put his head, put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar. And he poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. In verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will give or keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to the Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He poured the oil. Friend, that stone was set up to be a testimony. And he poured the oil upon it, indicating that he was setting it apart. Setting it apart for God. And he trusted the Lord, and he dedicated it to the Lord and to his service. What did he say? He says, Joseph, going back to Jacob now, chapter 49, Joseph, you'll be strong because the stone of Israel will be your strength. What I believe he was saying is this, you know, Joseph, I prove something in my life. God never failed me. And Joseph, God will not fail you either. You'll be strong in the Lord. He learned to rely upon God. And he found that God was his rock. God was his sure foundation. And he could stand upon God. And you will be strong, Joseph, standing upon the stone of Israel. The dependability of God. Thank God, God is one to be depended. Just one wee verse very quickly. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. It says there in verse number 2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. May you get to know that God this morning. You get to know the mighty God in whom you're trusting. Thank God, the Lord God is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my shield. He's my horn, my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Oh, you get that into your heart this morning. And I can tell you, you'll be able to stand in the midst of the storm. Then he said something else. Let's go back to chapter 49. Only touching these. Verse 25, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee. Even by the God of thy father. You'll be strong even by the God of your father. The God who chose me. The God who loved me. Yes, the God who chose your father, the God who loved your father, the God who led your father. Listen, the God who helped your father. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee? And I can tell you, my friend, it's a wonderful thing when a father or a mother can entrust their children to the care of God. Even when they're away from home, even when our eyes are not upon them, to be able to trust them into the hands of God and know that God will help them. And I want to believe what he's saying is here. Listen, you know, Joseph, I proved that he helped me. And I know he'll help you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10, tells us we're not to fear. We're not to be afraid. I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. Even though you can't understand at times, don't be dismayed by what's happening. Because you see, I am thy God. I am in control. I am thy God. That's in control. And then he says this. He says, I will strengthen thee. He says, I will help thee. He said, I will uphold thee with my right hand. Think of the promises of God, friend. The Eternal One is a God that's able to help us. Help us through the difficulties. Children of Israel came to the Red Sea. There was no way over, but God made a way. Helped us through the hindrances and the obstacles and the stumbling blocks. Yes, Jacob can witness to Joseph and say, you know, you'll be strong because the God of thy father shall help thee. What encouragement, friend, for a young man or a man in life. What an encouragement for the child of God. And then notice this, he said this, to bring it all together, he says, you'll be strong by the mighty God of Jacob, by the shepherd, the stone of Israel, the God of thy father. But listen, and by the Almighty. The Almighty, El Shaddai, the name that God revealed himself to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, when the old man was 99 years of age. The one who's able to control all things, even all adverse influences, by the Almighty, listen, who shall bless thee? The Almighty shall bless thee. Are you overcome by life this morning? And let me say this, many of God's people are. Things of life have been pressing in upon them, and maybe they just see no way through it all. Get your eyes, listen, get your eyes upon this God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph. Thank God, my God. And he will not fail his people. And notice the blessings here very quickly. And that brings me to the fullness. Not only the faith, but the fullness. Look at the blessings. We haven't time to go into this, but you just look at this. It says blessings from heaven above. You just think of the blessings from heaven above, friend. Think of the air you breathe. Do you see that a blessing to you? God has given you the oxygen, the breath to breathe. Oh no, you take that for granted. She've always done it. The blessings of the heavens above. The blessings of the rain and the snow, or the sun or the moon. You read Isaiah chapter 55, friend. And as you read Isaiah chapter 55, and when it talks about my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and then he goes on to explain just the greatness of God and the purposes of God. And this is what he says in verse number 11 verse number 10 of Isaiah 55. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither. What about the blessings there? Listen, it watereth the earth. And why does it water the earth? That it may bring forth and bud. That the earth may bring forth and bud. And what's the purpose there? That it may give seed to the sower. And what's the purpose about the seed to the sower? Bread to the eater. You see, with God, everything, there's a purpose. Even the rain coming down, or the snow from heaven. With God, there's purpose, the eternal purposes of God. And then he says not only the blessings of heaven above, but blessings of the deep that lieth under it. Think of the blessings of the deep, friend. Think of the blessings of the great waters and the springs and the streams. Think of the blessings of the fertile soil. Think of the blessings of what's there in that soil. How that God has given iron and God has given brass and God has given other things for the blessings of man. Blessings on the earth beneath and that lieth under it. And then blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of children. Oh, how God has richly blessed us, because the Bible tells us that children are the heritage of the Lord. You know, I think when you come to verse 26 that the old man's just getting carried away. And my, it just seems that his oratory just seems to rise. Look at the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. My, what oratory of an old dying man. It just seems he's carried away onto the bounds of the perpetual hills. Like the overflowing floods, they have risen to the very summits of the perpetual hills. He's talking about the duration of the blessings. They go on and on and on. when we sing a wee chorus sometimes, we are blessed, we are blessed. Every day of our lives we're blessed. From we wake up in the morning to we lay our heads to rest, we're blessed. Do you take them for granted? Hymn writer says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Ah, he said, the blessings will be upon the crown of thy head, Joseph, that was separate from your brethren. You know what God says? Him that honoreth me, God's him that I honor. God will honor his people. And Joseph was scorned. Joseph was separated. He was set apart by his brethren. But I want to tell you this. God set him apart. Consecrated unto the Lord. You know, when he's finished the words and then to Benjamin, he comes to die. I'm going to finish this very quickly. Verse number 29, he says, he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. You know, when we look at the manner of his death here, he's finished charging his 12 sons, and now he gives them one final charge. Here's his last will. You know, Jacob wasn't a perfect man, as I've said, but he left his family well. He left them with blessings. Dad, Mom, is that how you're going to leave your children? Are you going to leave them with blessings on their head? I can tell you that's worth more than leaving silver or gold. And then he said this. He says, I am to be gathered unto my people. You see, he knew where he was going, friend. There was nothing wavering in his heart of where he was going. He was convinced. I want you to notice this. He was convinced that there was life after death. He was going somewhere. And you notice he divided up. He says, I am to be gathered to my people. And then he says, bury me. He says, the real I'm to be gathered to my people. No, you have nothing to do with that. I am to be gathered to my people, but you're to bury me. There's my body. Yes, I am to be taken. My soul is to be taken there to be with my people. But he says, my body, I want you to bury it. But he said, I don't want you to bury it in Egypt. And let me tell you, friend, if he had been buried in Egypt, he would have been buried in one of the pyramids, because let me tell you, remember, Joseph was the second highest man in the whole land of Egypt. Pharaoh would have given him the best place to bury his father. But listen, Jacob says, don't bury me. No matter what the world has to offer, don't bury me there. He said, I want you to take me. I don't want the magnificent tombs of Egypt. I want to go to the land of promise, the land of the covenant, promise of God. That's more special to me. Let my body lie there. Let it lie there. And then he gave one final witness, and only touching this because time's gone, and we're finishing in chapter 49 this morning. Notice what it says, verse 33. Jacob had made an end of his commanding his sons. He gathered up his feet into the bed, and he yielded up the ghost, and he was gathered unto his people. Now remember, that's not the burial, because he wasn't buried yet. He was gathered that day unto his people. At the gateway of eternity, Jacob has nothing more to say to his brethren, but he gives a final little word. Spurgeon said that he was immortal until his work was done. And we see here how this old man finishes well. It says, when he finished commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet. And that means he summoned all the strength that he had left to gather up his feet or to haul his feet up into the bed. Remember, he has been leaning on a staff. He's been leaning upon the staff. And he summons the last bit of strength and he pulls his feet into the bed and he lets the staff fall. And he lies back and he smiles into the face of God he loved. And he's gone. There's a little division there. Notice the grace in dying. He gathered up his feet into the bed. God give him grace. The dying moment. And then notice the ghost in his dying, because that's a figure of speech. The word there, it means he gave up the ghost. It means he breathed out his last. He breathed out his last breath. In other words, he expired. Remember it says, God breathed into man and he became a living soul. But what's happening at death, friend? God breathed in and there was life. And he breathed out his last. And there was death. And there's the gathering. He was gathered unto his people. You know, there's encouragement here. Although Jacob had many flaws, he was a man of faith. And with this, I'm finished. Your dying is a frightening thought to many, because we leave behind all we have and we take with us all we are. We leave behind all we have and we take with us all we are. And then we meet God to give account. Friend, are you ready this morning? If this was to be your last day, like Jacob's last day, if you were to gather up your feet in the bed or on the street or in the car or wherever you are, if you were to breathe out your last and you were to be gathered, where? If you're saved, you'll be gathered to the Lord's people in the Lord's house forever. If you're not saved, the blackness and the darkness of hell. May God save you for Jesus' sake. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. Write it upon us, we pray, afresh. Grant that everyone in this house is ready to meet thee, redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.